Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash?
Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket.
Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
In the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinisterhood.
I'm gonna kill you. Welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. You all were so generous to write your stories into us, and we couldn't be more excited to share them with you today.
Ooh, we got some answers, too.
Oh, yes. Yes, we did. I love when we make a call, and then you all respond, because then, you know, it's just the two of us here in our respective homes talking to one another. It's really nice to get that feedback, baby.
Yeah. Especially when it's the exact feedback. Exactly.
It's that sweet, sweet feedback too. That sweet, juicy feedback. But yeah, we welcome all of it. And we definitely welcome all of y'all's stories. So as you listen, if it triggers something in you, you think of something, reminds you of something, send it our way, because mm-hmm. it helps to get it written down, I think.
And it can be about anything, yeah. Really. I mean,
it's turned a corner.
I read so many where it's like, I never thought I had a story. Probably everybody has a story.
I truly believe that. I think we do. I think we express them all in different ways. And some people like to write. Some people draw, sing, dance, whatever, etc. But for this medium, like we said, get you a voice memo or something and transcribe
it. Or send me an interpretive dance.
Yeah.
It will be up to my interpretation what you're trying to say.
I'll just write it out.
But I think I'll nail it.
Absolutely. You got a really good, you've read enough of these now that I feel like you got a good read on it.
I got a good read on people. And my toxic trait is I can do anything if I want to.
I truly believe you
overconfidence.
Can. Overconfidence. That's what we need, baby.
Oh, well thank you.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from your daughter.
Hello, darling.
And much like you, the subject line is called Certified Man Hater. Not just much like you, much like us. Anonymous writes, hello, Sinis Sisters. I love the show and recommend it to pretty much everyone I meet. But I'll keep the fangirling brief so I can jump right in. This isn't exactly a typical Freaky Friday story, but I know y'all will get it as esteemed experts in comedy and future mama leaders. So to set the scene, I am currently in a graduate program for clinical mental health counseling, training to be a therapist. 2 weeks ago in class, I was presenting a 10-minute clip of myself working with a real client. Along with the video, we were supposed to discuss what comes up for us as new counselors and receive feedback from the professor and classmates. In my clip, my client was talking about a conflict with her husband. Afterwards, my professor asked me how it felt for me, as a woman, to support this client while she tries to maintain her independence while her husband is trying to make her into a, quote, trad wife. I jokingly responded, as a certified man-hater, it's hard for me to keep my opinion to myself because I want to tell her that her husband kind of sucks. The class laughed, as it was clearly meant as a joke. But a guy in the back of the class, I'll call him Joe, who I don't know very well, started muttering. I didn't think much of it at the time. My male professor joked back, well, if you're such a man-hater, why do you keep taking my class? That gave me a chance to clarify, so I explained that no, I don't actually hate men, but I do have difficulty trusting them because of my own trauma history. I also shared that I am very aware of this bias and knew going into this program it would be the biggest thing I need to work on. And in fact, I have been working hard to challenge myself. So I've made a lot of progress on this front, in part due to positive experiences with male professors, classmates, a male supervisor, and working with male clients. This is when Joe exploded. He started yelling that I marginalized all three of the male students in the room, that what I said was fucking unethical, that I shouldn't even be a counselor, and that it was a total Title IX violation, along with other expletives and insults. His anger was so intense that he started rising out of his seat, and I genuinely felt like he might physically come at me. Of course, as the good girl I am, I immediately apologized and tried to de-escalate. I explained that I do not actually hate men, and I didn't mean to offend anyone. My comment was an attempt at humor to lighten a topic that is actually pretty heavy for me. I could see the shocked, "What the fuck do we do?" faces on my other classmates. The professor interjected to ask the class, "If Anon had said she was a certified, insert other identity word, hater, would we be okay with it?" In my head, I was thinking, well, it depends on the identity, because I was under the impression that in comedy, you get to punch up sometimes, but punching down isn't funny. For example, as a white person, I would not be offended if a person of color called themselves a certified white person hater, because I understand the historic oppression and current power structures and privilege that benefit white people. And I would assume they don't mean all white people, but it is enough white people that it is safer for POC to assume all white people are unsafe unless proven otherwise. But in the moment, I chose not to engage further and simply reiterated my apology. Meanwhile, I was about to cry or throw up or run out of the room. I was embarrassed, scared, and my confidence was completely shaken. Somehow, I managed to hold it together, like a badass, to finish my presentation without crying. As soon as my presentation was over, I went straight to the bathroom and lost it. Several of the women in the class followed to check on me. One even apologized for not speaking up, saying she was afraid of Joe and worried it would be putting her in danger if she did. A few others warned me that he was still in the classroom continuing to rant. When I headed back, the professor pulled me aside to check in. I told him how scared I felt being yelled at like that. Again, I explained that my comment came from a place of trying to make light of my genuine, learned fear of men, not a place of malice. He was supportive and even offered to let me go home early. I declined, as I didn't want to leave feeling like I had to shrink or back down. Joe didn't say anything for the rest of class, but I still didn't feel safe. I made sure to walk to my car with a group and kept my safety whistle in my hand, just in case. On my drive home, I called my mom, and she was so worried about my safety that she asked me to call her after every class for the rest of the semester. I was shaken all week. In the next class, our professor facilitated a group discussion about the incident, modeled like a family therapy session. Unfortunately, it didn't go anywhere productive. Joe took no accountability. In fact, he doubled down. He said he wouldn't change anything about his reaction because he's sick of people getting away with bigotry against white men. No matter how my classmates and I tried to frame it, he didn't budge. We tried to explain that a poorly timed joke and angry outburst are not equivalent, and that women know the inherent threat of a man yelling and cursing at them. That his reaction kind of proved my point, that men are scary and a threat to women. That, quote, discriminating against the group with all the power is not the same as discriminating against group without power. I tried to explain the inherent fear that comes with being a woman, historically, and the unique fear of existing in the current political climate. I mean, the last words Renee Good likely heard was the agent who killed her calling her a fucking bitch. The Epstein files being released and revealing how many women and girls have been abused while the system knew and did nothing. And having Mr. Grab Him by the Pussy in the White House. We even tried to ask if he would have the same reaction if a client told him she was a, quote, certified man-hater. When he said no, we asked why I don't deserve the same grace of curiosity and the opportunity to explain the origins of that feeling. Nope. Nothing changed his mind. The closest he came to an apology was saying he could see how it might have made me anxious. Before this class, I was too nervous to report him. I think most women will understand my thought process. What if I'm being dramatic and I ruin his career over my own pettiness? What if I report and they don't believe me or don't think it was a big deal? What if he finds out I reported him? He gets even more angry and tries to retaliate. Hearing him double down made it clear. I had to make the report. He isn't willing to listen to women, accept any accountability, apologize, or change. While I am scared of what he might do to me, I am even more scared that he will continue to receive the message that he can act like this without consequences, that if he is angry and stubborn enough, he can make women shrink and apologize to him for his inability to contain his big feelings. I am scared that he will do this to other women, or God forbid, escalate, and next time, he isn't just yelling. I'm sad and angry to think of the women who he treated poorly before, who likely didn't feel safe enough to stand up to him. I feel grateful to know my professor, advisor, and classmates have my back, which allows me to be brave enough to make a report and not back down. I don't know if making the report was the right thing to do, but I am tired of coddling angry men to not make them more angry. Which brings me to the fact that I have been thinking about writing this story since it happened almost 3 weeks ago, but I kept stopping myself because technically nothing happened to me. However, today, while I was listening to Freaky Friday episode 205, I saw a quote that inspired me to write my story anyways and send it to my favorite community of angry feminists. I believe it can be originally attributed to Quasicore on Tumblr, and it says, "Men think they're so angry. They're not angry. They're just weak to the false power that aggression gives them. No man will ever understand the sheer unearthly rage I feel inside when I or any other woman is treated lesser than for being a woman. Men do not own anger. It's not theirs. It's ours." With that said, thank you for reading my story. Thank you for being loud and brave and speaking up on your platform, even though it is scary. Thank you for sharing your platform by providing a space for all of us to tell our stories and be angry together. I want to remind everyone, it is okay to be angry and scared about all the bullshit going on. And if you have the energy, keep being loud and brave. I hear you, I believe you, and I'll have your back. Stay angry, stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Okay, Anonymous. That's my daughter, y'all. That's my little girl, baby, all grown up. Mommy's proud of you, first of all.
For I might being get in. That quote tattooed on.
Man.
Man, that is. Men do not own anger. It's not theirs. It's ours is my new mantra.
Yeah. I mean, it's also like you said, when you hear not only another woman being targeted because she's a woman, but by someone who's so loudly wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, just loudly wrong. Just
and
briefly.
Refuses to admit they're wrong.
No. Oh, my God.
Doesn't think they're wrong either.
Ironically wrong, too, because he's arguing that there's this hostile environment because she made a single joke, a self-deprecating joke that was immediately clarified and was rooted in her own trauma and was relevant to the conversation. It requires an actual Title IX complaint. It would be like the school failed to stop student-on-student harassment, and the officials know it's happening. They're deliberately indifferent to it's happening. They have knowledge. It's severe. It's pervasive. It's objectively offensive that it would deprive a student of equal access to education. And like, Joe, you baby. Joe, you fucking baby.
The fuck, fuck up. Up. I'm sorry your feelings got hurt during this class, but no. The whole idea of white men being oppressed is, I don't have time for it. There's too much shit going on in the world that I got to focus on, and coddling the white man is not on the list.
Is not even not the
it's on, not, didn't not, even make the top 1,000 things I'm worried about.
100%. I always say I'm like, hey, somebody can point at my car and go, that's a blue car, and my car is red, and like I know the difference. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. You can point and say it, but it's like that
doesn't make it true.
You can yell it all the time. We're oppressed. It's like I can't hear you because you sound. I can hear you, but I cannot comprehend it. The ironic thing, truly, as well, is that Joe's behavior does rise to the level of a complaint. I think you absolutely mm-hmm. did the right thing. Screaming with swear words, rising from his seat in a threatening manner, continuing to rant after you left the room, and doubling down in a facilitated session. I cannot imagine that he did not at least violate your university code of conduct.
For sure. Right? I'm quite surprised, honestly, that the professor didn't say more about it to him in the moment.
Exactly. That sort of framed it as like both sides are valid here. Yeah. It is a male professor, so we do have to consider that. You know, he may not comprehend what's happening. So we've got to go a little slow for this professor that it's like, you might not understand what it's like to be in a situation where you are. And also the fact that your fellow students, your colleagues, said they felt threatened. They felt uncomfortable. So now what has happened is a true Title IX violation, which is that Joe's harassment of you based on your sex has become so pervasive that an objective fact finder would be able to say, you cannot have a facilitated discussion in this class because the professor has actual knowledge of your harassment. He saw it happen and he failed to respond in an appropriate fashion.
And in fact, made you all act it out as a family counseling session next class, which did not go well. And perhaps the professor intervened at that point. I completely agree. Somebody like this should not be one, should not be a therapist in any way. And the fact that also he was like, well, yeah, I wouldn't say this to a female client if she said that. Well, then why are you saying it to anyone?
Yeah.
Because even if you didn't say it to that client, you're thinking it. Mm-hmm. And then all of the advice and guidance you give her is through the lens of misogyny.
And oh, definitely. And you're right. And especially that framing of why was Anon not given the curiosity. It's one thing if he wants to obnoxiously engage in some type of debate and perhaps raise his hand and say, as a man, your comment struck me. And so I'm curious, do you truly identify that way? And if so, why? And is that something that is going to affect you with your clients?
Mm-hmm. That seems like a thoughtful question.
Joe is a fuck up and did not say that. And I do agree that setting it up as this like family therapy, that it's some mutual conflict. I think the professor absolutely failed you, absolutely failed your classmates and colleagues, because a school must respond to harassment like that. He knew about it. They need to investigate it. He should have made a report and said, hey, Dean, I need to make you aware. I had a student. Not only did he scream at one fellow student, five or six others looked uncomfortable. They were shifting in their seats and stuff. So giving
one even said, I didn't want to say anything because I was scared of Joe.
Period. So it's like giving him another platform to double down and continue the harassment. That now the professor is facilitating this harassment. So I think your decision to file a report, legally correct. I think it was strategically correct. You got to create a record in situations like this. You have to, if there is some sort of institutional obligation, and you don't know, maybe this professor's let this happen before. I don't know. Or maybe Joe has done this in his other classes, whatever. Mm-hmm. But you can't, the school can't retaliate against you. The professor can't retaliate against you. They can't threaten you, coerce you. Go, you know, Joe really is a good student, so I might rescind that report if I were you. No, that's a second fucking report.
This isn't high school football. No. You don't get to act like a dickhead and then go be quarterback.
No, this is, we are training people to be professionals that are going to hold someone's life in their hands. And I think med school students and therapists and lawyers, anybody who someone's health, safety, freedom is at stake, you have to be of a sound mind and judgment to take on that responsibility. So there were people that would do things in law school and someone would say like, should I report it? And they tell you, it's actually a violation for me, for Heather not to report knowing that Joe cheated on a test or whatever, because that is a moral crime of, more not crime, but that's like showing an ethical violation. And me knowing and going, I'll look the other way, that's a violation. So I think you did the right thing. If you were in a room and you heard your colleague next door screaming at a client, you would call it in, right? And so, you know, well, if I make the report, I'm going to ruin his career. We've got to reframe it, period, full
ruin
stop.
It.
If someone robs, here's the thing, to begin with anyway. Exactly. And if someone robs your house and you call 911 and you go like, hey, someone robbed my house, you don't go, I'm going to ruin that person's life who robbed me. They fucking robbed you first. You know what I mean? Like, that's period. This person hit me with their car. I might ruin their life by telling people about it. They hit you with the fucking car. Yeah. I'm not yelling at you, Anon. I love you. But I really, over and over again, you know, especially clients I had that were older adults would say, oh, this person did this to me, but you know, I don't want to cause trouble for him. And it was more complicated because oftentimes it was a family member, but it's like, you want to say like they have to suffer their own consequences, because if they don't, guys like this, that's somebody that's going to do it to a client, going to do it to a wife, a child, hit the wife, hit the child. I mean, 100%. Seriously, the same way guys who flash their dicks go on to molest children, guys who abuse animals go on to abuse animals and people that jump up, scream and are like incapable of controlling themselves. The mind reels at what that will end up at.
Wound so tight at all times that the one smallest little comment sets them off to where they're acting like a just embarrassing asshole. College, any school, once you're paying for school.
For real.
And you're in a class.
You better believe.
I better not feel any type of threat. And I don't want to have to go to class worrying about a fellow classmate when the professor knows, like, he should be removed from that class.
Yeah, that student, absolutely, Joe, should be removed from the class. And we've got to reframe it as, like, instead of being like, Anon, you reported Joe? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. It needs to be like, oh, of course you reported him. Good. I can't believe he would act that way. That's insane. Like, we all need to start.
We should all report him because we saw it too.
And we also, like, every woman that felt intimidated in your class that was interfering with learning that, as Christy so aptly pointed out, you're fucking paying for it. What? Like, I'm not paying thousands of dollars a year to have some fucking dipshit yell at me. Are you kidding me? You did the right thing. Period.
Oh, absolutely. I'm proud of you. We're all proud of you. This quote is incredible. I will be writing that one down in my quote book for sure. And I hope Joe didn't graduate. I hope he fails out of this college.
I mean, he should
get his license revoked. Let me tell you something. If he got a license to practice therapy and then acted like this at all, it would be yanked away so fast. So a psychology professor, I mean, should recognize that and then have a conversation about that. Like, you can't explode in anger just because you don't agree with somebody.
Yeah. And exactly what like he said, whenever they framed it as a patient, like, you need to treat your colleagues with the same amount of respect that you're going to treat. And that's who these people are. They're your classmates. Yeah. They're also going to practice with you. You might refer patients back and forth or speak with them at a conference, or you end up at the same practice or whatever. Like, you never know, especially when you're past undergrad and you get into these graduate level courses. Like, anybody that asks you in 10 years, someone's going to be like, hey, you went to University of Illinois. You were in the master's program the same time. This guy wanted to work with me in my practice. His name's Joe Smith. Did you ever have a class with him? I mean, this is the kind of shit that you go, he's a psycho.
Yeah.
Don't hire him.
It's a small world once you get into your specific industry, and you'd be shocked at how small it really is and how quickly word travels about people doing shit like this.
100%. So I think you did the right thing. And if any one person goes like, well, Anon, like, files reports or whatever, I'd like to redirect that. In fact, I stand up for my rights, and then it's my right to have an education that's unfettered by someone's inability to control their emotions who has childlike outbursts in a professional program. I expected a higher caliber of behavior, respect, and maturity from my colleagues. And so when I did, they failed to display that, I made the school aware of it.
Yeah.
I'm crazy for that? I don't think so.
No. I think the more that we all, like Anon said, stay angry and stay loud, the more powerful that is. And, you know, it might not change what men think overnight. It might stop them from just yelling stupid shit in the middle of your class where you feel like you can't come back.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we don't interact with people who act that way. Mm-mm. So if we need to have a little group project. Nobody's in a group with Joe because
Joe has to do this by himself.
Fuck you, Joe. And Joe's probably not going to, you know, and it's like, if in the family therapy party was like, you guys, last class, I am so sorry. I'm so embarrassed. I thought about what I did and I'm really sorry. I get it. It was a joke you made and I really should. But the fact that he was like, no, I was like, this is a character flaw. This man is him. That's him.
He's never admitted he's wrong and he probably never will. And he'll probably die single and alone. Yeah. So
good riddance to bad rubbish.
The trash always takes itself out. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Anon. And we're very proud of you. What you did was very brave and scary, and you did it anyways. So you are a badass.
You are. And your clients in the future will thank you. They're very lucky to have you. Mm-hmm. Thanks for all you're doing. Sinisterhood will be right back. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. May is Mental Health Awareness Month. A reminder that whatever you're going through, you don't have to go through it alone. Life is a journey. Some days feel good and others feel overwhelming. Whatever's keeping you up at night, it's easy to feel like you have to figure it all out on your own. But the truth is, no one has all the answers, and no journey should be alone. Having someone with you to listen, to understand, and to support you can make all the difference.
BetterHelp does the initial match work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12-plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. But if you aren't happy with your match, you can switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recs. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally. And it works, with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews.
You don't have to be on this journey alone. Find support and have someone with you in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/sinister. That's betterhelp.com/sinister.
Well, this next one is from Maggie and is called Something Drove Us from the Cemetery. As a high schooler growing up in a small Midwestern town with little to do, my best friend Nikki and I typically had to make our own fun. Some of our favorite activities included long drives on gravel roads through the corn-filled countryside, enjoying the devil's lettuce, and exploring graveyards. We had a favorite nearby graveyard that we knew very well. We would often bring boys there late at night to flirt in the weirdest, spooky girl way possible. Our typical move was to get the guys creeped out, dart off into the corn, and circle back to scare the shit out of them. Work like a charm. As my friend's 37th birthday approached, it was only natural that we celebrate the day by picnicking in a large cemetery and grabbing a cute birthday dinner. After dinner, we felt that old pull to revisit a cemetery and see how long we could walk around before getting too freaked out. We decided to go to our favorite nearby cemetery, Wildwood Cemetery. Wildwood Cemetery is located in Wauseosia, Minnesota, which is really more of a collection of scattered farmhouses than an actual town. The cemetery is at the end of a long, winding road, again surrounded by cornfields, that passes by the rubble of an old seminary before dead-ending at the cemetery gravel parking lot and entrance gates. As Nikki and I drove this road, we felt the excitement and anticipation of returning to our teenage stomping grounds. We passed the seminary ruins and paused the car while a small group of deer scampered across the road. We continued on and parked in the parking lot. It was empty, of course, as we were long past the hours the cemetery was open to the public. From the safety of the car, we stared into the wooded gloom. The one streetlight in the parking lot gave off an orange, ominous glow. We took a few moments to set our intentions and say them out loud. We each silently performed the ribbon wrapping protection, which I learned from Two Girls, One Ghost, where you imagine a ribbon of whatever color and thickness you would like, and slowly imagine wrapping yourself from head to toe, tying it off with a knot or bow. We were feeling much more mature, thoughtful, and respectful than in the past when our high school selves would stumble tipsily out of a car packed with boys with the sole intention of flirting. The two of us left the solace of the car and headed into the cemetery. The layout of the cemetery is simple. Imagine an oval on its side with a path perfectly cutting through the center the short way. The center path connects the parking lot to the back of the cemetery, where you will find a limestone drop-off I called the Devil's Staircase. Local legend says that long ago, settlers drove native people off the cliff to their deaths into the shallow river below. The limestone has been worn away over time to create a giant staircase that you can climb up and down to access the river. As Nikki and I bravely began our stroll, we quietly walked away from the parking lot and the light the street lamp provided. We took the center path straight toward the Devil's Staircase. Just before the path reached the staircase, we decided to turn left and continue along the outer path to our usual preferred area, the old section of the cemetery that mostly holds soldiers from the Civil War. About 20 feet down the path, I felt the urge to randomly turn left, leave the path, and cut straight into the cemetery. We ended up by a few large old trees and sat with one to our backs. The moon was full and the stars were brilliant. We faced the outer walking path of the cemetery and felt calm and peaceful in the beauty of the moonlight. We quietly talked about how this was a lovely place for folks to rest. We sat happily, enjoying our weird day together. Suddenly, I felt disturbed, like something jarring had totally changed my mood. I felt my ears strain in the silence. I looked to Nikki, and she was also quiet and alert. About 50 feet away from us, in the direction we were currently facing to moon gaze, just past the edge of the outer walking path in the trees and corn, we heard a twig snap. Our eyes widened and we silently looked at each other, waiting for another noise or any sort of information. Nothing happened. After a few minutes of tense silence, I whispered, "Deer?" Nikki gave me a look that said she wasn't fully convinced and whispered back, "Yeah, that must be." We sat in silence a bit longer and then felt calmed enough to continue making small talk in quiet voices. About 10 minutes later, we both got that chill again and fell vigilant. We stared into the dry corn stalks on high alert. We turned to each other at the same moment, anxious to say something to pretend that this was normal and not at all freaky as fuck. I opened my mouth to speak as something whistled at us from the tree line. Fucking whistled. My scalp tensed and it felt like all of my hair was standing on end. This was no ordinary whistle. You know those wooden train whistles that kids have? They have four tones that all sound at once like a train whistle. This sounded similar to that, only it was two tones instead of four. They were low and dissonant, and the whistle blast was breathy, about 2 seconds, and sounded like it came from a wooden whistle. Nikki looked at me, eyes wide with fear, and whisper yelled, "Hunter!" In our area, hunting is a very common pastime. Before I could respond, five or so deer bound from the corn where we had just heard the whistle. They sprinted straight at us into the wide open cemetery. One deer paused for a split second and looked at us as if to say, "What are you doing? Run!" Nikki and I jumped to our feet and began stumbling through the uneven cemetery, seeking the safety of the car. As we were getting to our feet, the whistle blew again. It sounded like it was coming from the same exact spot, but this time felt more urgent. In my head, I kept thinking the whistle was saying, "Warning!" Now, Nikki will tell you herself, she is not the most nimble on her toes, so I knew we wouldn't be full out sprinting to the car. I turned back to the woods as we were beginning our escape, and I yelled, "We're people! If you're a hunter, don't shoot! We're people!" We made it back to the car, threw that son of a bitch into drive, and hauled ass out of there. We rushed the 10-minute drive home and immediately debriefed. I didn't stop trembling for the next 30 minutes. As we discussed, what we pieced together only made the experience creepier. First and most logical explanation, there was actually a hunter in the woods. If that was true, that would mean that some man, let's be honest, this would never be a woman, had walked miles through dry, crunchy cornfields to get to this spot. There were no cars nearby, and the nearest farm was miles away. It was deer hunting season, but only for bow and arrow, and not at night. The cemetery is private property, so would not be huntable land. Now, meth and other hard drugs are an issue in this area, so that could also play a factor, which to me only makes this explanation scarier. But I imagine someone on meth would have a hard time sitting so still and silent in a crunchy cornfield that deer could get near them. Another potential explanation. A groundskeeper knew it was a Friday night in October and assumed at some point people would come check out the cemetery. This seems less likely, as the population of Wauseosa is quite small, and I can't imagine a caretaker at this small cemetery would be more than part-time. In fact, after some online research, it looks like someone mows the cemetery but does no other maintenance. The caretaker would have had to select that exact hiding place ahead of time without knowing that's exactly where we'd end up. Or he would have been visible to us if he had snuck out of the small caretaker shack and into that wooded cornfield area where the noise came from. The corn was so dry and noisy at this point in the year that walking through the corn would have caused quite the disturbance. And remember, the deer had not been alerted to the presence until the whistle noise. Deer pretty much have one system of defense, detecting danger and fleeing. Based on the noise and where the deer emerged, the deer would have been within feet of the whistle source. How would the deer not smell, hear, or see anything to warn them away? Why would the deer run into a clearing with nowhere to hide? Why would a hunter blow a whistle and scare away prey that's within a few feet? Why would they wait the 10 to 15 minutes to let us chat? That brings us to our paranormal explanations. This is a Civil War cemetery. Could it have been a soldier? When we told my dad, a Civil War buff, because I'm pretty sure you have to be into that stuff if you're a dad, he mentioned soldiers used whistles to communicate over distance, but upon further research, they typically used tin whistles, not wooden ones. We know the legend of the atrocities supposedly committed against the Native Americans at this location. Could it have been one of their spirits? Also, I have to mention that the entire area is made of limestone, which is said to hold energy, according to stone tape theory. Now, one other detail that still gives me goosebumps is that both Nikki and I got a mental message with each whistle. In my head, I heard warning, and Nikki heard danger. What if the whistle was a warning of something much more insidious approaching from the woods? Flesh pedestrians aren't part of the local folklore, but what if a spirit, native or otherwise, was warning us to flee, just like the deer did, as something much worse was headed our way? Another creepy note, if I hadn't randomly diverted us into the middle of the cemetery, we would have continued on the other path and would have passed within feet of the source of the whistle. So, what do you think it was?
Ooh, first of all, I want to go to the cemeteries with y'all. Y'all are having fun.
Yeah.
Smoking up the devil's lettuce, running about the cornfields.
Like, this was like my high school experience, basically. Less cemeteries, but all the other stuff.
Yeah, I'm like, man, if they did like a Sinisterhood sitcom where it's us going to high school together, this would be like part of the lore of us, like, you run around this way and you run around this way. Mm-hmm. It would be so much fun. Well, what might it have been? I agree. I mean, I appreciate the Ghost Gildian analysis of like, well, mm-hmm. could it be this? Why not? But, you know, go with the Occam's razor first. I did some brief Googling to see, like, are there cryptids? Are there known spirits? Whatever. There's a Minnesota lumberjack legend of a creature called a tea kettler that is supposedly looks like a small stumpy leg dog with the ears of a cat, and it makes a sound like a tea kettle. So
that sounds cute.
It's whistly, but you said, you know, it's more, it didn't really sound tea kettle-ish. I think if you were like, is the tea ready? That's a different, yeah. But you did say, you know, you mentioned there that the land belonged to, it's the homeland, the traditional Lakota homeland in that area. And again, brief Googling on it, there is a specific spirit in there cultural beliefs that if the spirit fails to enter the next realm, then it is said to wander the agricultural kind of areas and whistle. So sometimes moaning as well. So, you know, potentially that, potentially, like you said, if somebody more likely, probably somebody from the cemetery, you know, by that, I mean like a spirit from the cemetery.
Yeah. The deer part is what trips me up because mm-hmm. obviously if a living person had been within a few feet of these deer, they would have sensed it, made a lot of noise. Also, mm-hmm. why would someone that's hunting whistle to make their prey leave? That seems counterproductive. I think animals know stuff. Mm-hmm. And that deer was like, get the fuck out of here. You don't even understand what's about to come this way. And luckily, y'all were like, say less, and ran to the car.
Yeah, if a deer makes eye contact with you, like, let's fucking split, man.
Get out of here.
Listen, you got to listen to it. Yeah,
you have to.
But I agree. The physicality of the animals bring an extra sense of spookiness. But and man, don't discount birds. I'll tell you that. When you and I were doing that live stream, it was the Getting Into It live stream, Total Crest Live, and we're just sitting there talking, and then we all just heard, in the background, and we're like, what the fuck? And it was a huge owl just flew past us. So not necessarily an owl, but maybe, I don't know, some other type of bird, but late at night, unless it is a nocturnal bird like an owl, but it's still, if you're going to have an encounter with the spirit, an old timey cemetery is like the place. So
that's
late
where it's
going
to happen.
So I think mm-hmm. you found what you're looking for.
You have a birthday to remember.
Yes.
Your friend has a birthday to remember forever.
Like, he was like, I was trying to whistle out happy birthday, but you guys left after the first tune. Happy, but I didn't even get to Earth Day and you mm-hmm. ran.
No. So, whistling sorry, at night in the cemetery.
First
I'm out immediately.
I would never do it because it sounds like, oh, she was whistling at night in the cemetery and that's how they got into her body. Like, mm-hmm. you know, her soul or whatever. It sounds like a bad luck thing.
And if I hear it, I I'm running the other way. Yeah. I'm running with the deer.
Exactly.
I'm going to where the deer go.
It's super bad luck because it's probably a dude who's standing yeah. in the forest ready to
and
get
you. And it's like, which would you rather?
A ghost.
An owl, a ghost, or a man with a whistle? I'll ghost. Take either, Alex, of the yeah. first two over the last one.
For sure. Yeah, because it's like, how'd you get out there? Why do you have the whistle? How mm-hmm. long have you been sitting there? Why didn't the deer hear you?
Were you watching us?
Yeah.
Why do you even? Yeah. What are you doing? What's your point?
It's a situation where you pray it's a ghost on the drive home, but what a birthday.
Absolutely.
Happy belated.
Happy 37.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
Cravings aren't just about nicotine. They're about the habit, the hand-to-mouth motion, oral fixation, the momentary pause. When that loop is broken, cravings spike. Fume replaces your habit with a flavored air fidget device that gives your hands and mouth something to do, distracting cravings without nicotine, vapor, or batteries. Don't just try to quit. Upgrade the habit loop. Reach for Fume instead. We recommend the Journey Pack, which comes with the Fume device plus 6 delicious flavors.
Hell yeah, you can try them all out. It gets you a little tangy, sweet raspberry. I like a crisp mint. I'm a crisp mm-hmm. mint fan. I like to suck on it. I like how it feels in my mouth. It's something that you have like in your bag, on your desk, wherever you're grabbing for something else, and you grab for the Fume instead, and it lets you fidget, lets you kind of think about it, you know, click, move, zip, mm-hmm. and then take a old minty suck off of it. Feels great.
When you grab a Journey Pack, you'll also get a free gift just for using our code CREEPY.
Fume has already helped over 700,000 people take steps toward better habits, and now it's your turn. Use our code CREEPY to get a free gift with your Journey Pack. Head to tryfume.com. That's TRYFUM.com and use code CREEPY to claim your free gift today.
Well, this next one's from Allie and is called Artemis Asteroid Destruction. Hello, m'ladies. Hope you are staying strong in this shit timeline. My thoughts are with all people standing against injustice in the U.S., and you ladies are fighting the good fight. So, I live in rural England, and it's lambing season. We lamb the majority of our sheep outside, so myself or my mom will be out and about on the farm into the night. This happened at 12:23 a.m. in the morning of April 13th. I was down the field checking the sheep when I saw a light in the sky. Due to the lack of light pollution where I live, I've seen a few shooting stars. However, this was huge, burning orange to bright white with a blue tinge enough to light up the valley, then burning out with orange sparks. I stood like a Chungus dinosaur staring at it as it entered the atmosphere, transfixed. My first feeling was awe, then fear. Then a horrible weight of responsibility that I was the first person on Earth to witness the end of the world, and I was going to somehow alert the rest of society. I don't have the energy for that. I was already running on lambing sleep deprivation. I came home and told my mom my story, her eyes widening as I retold it, and we hit the internet to see what it could be. The next day, we saw reports that it was a small asteroid that crashed into the North Sea, separate from the current meteor shower we are experiencing, and likely a broken-off part of a bigger asteroid. Now, admittedly, the Artemis crew had returned to Earth just 2 days before, but when I heard your theories of the Artemis mission, I had to write in. Could it be a complete coincidence, or was it an offshoot of a man-destroyed larger asteroid out in the solar system? Let me know what you think. All the love, Allie.
First of all, your lambs are so cute.
Oh my gosh. These lambs.
Like, I picture perfect.
What is it? Just looks, oh.
They're just so sweet.
They
just,
I know. I like, love them so much.
They're so soft. So soft. What mm-hmm. a thing to witness alone at night, dude. Surrounded by lambs. You felt like Jesus. You my, felt shepherd I would, tending your flock at night.
I would for real be like, this is it. I just, okay, it's happened. Now I've got to go tell everybody.
It has begun. Well, mm-hmm. I was trying to find more on the conspiracy theory, and it kind of came from one guy who was like, well, it doesn't really make sense that we would spend all this money on this moon stuff all of a sudden when they're not, if there's not an ulterior motive. I mean, it's not all of a sudden. You know, we've kind of been reporting on it for about 2 years. And then he sort of, you know, he kind of said, well, the program's name is weird. Atmosphere perturbation, how do you even say that? It's like perturbed atmosphere, I guess, around Eclipse Path. It spells out the name of this Egyptian sun god. And he was like, well, it sounds like they made the acronym to fit, like they made the name of the program to fit this acronym, which NASA does do that. So astute observation, my man. Like, uh-oh. And there's also this biblical prophecy about Wormwood, which is a big asteroid coming, I guess, to strike the Earth. And the natural, like the plant wormwood, the scientific name is Artemisia absinthium. So people are like, they named it Artemis because that's the same. I don't know. I think it, whatever. But the kind of whole idea that like the government did this, it makes sense to think that they lied to us about a lot of stuff. There's one scientist was like, they lied to us about WMDs. They lied to us about Vietnam. No wonder people think they're lying all the time. This was just a boring mission. But, you know, that's what people think is like they are misleading us now. And they, at the end of the day, we would never be able to know. Like we would know until 50 more years, you know, if it was or it wasn't. But this asteroid's a real ass thing. And it really did. They think it landed in the North Sea. You're just a whale fucking swimming along and then it actually just blessed.
That's what she said. It landed in the North Sea.
So say it's just
I don't, looking up in the at the dark sky with zero light pollution by yourself and you see something, you're like, I don't think I was supposed to see that. What's happening now?
No, you got a feeling like I've chosen. why did you reveal yourself to me in the little lambs?
Maybe you were
like truly, I think there's something to that. Tending something that is so tiny, vulnerable, new to the world and needs you, while something ancient, huge, destructive is just shooting atop you. You're just like,
you're describing parenting.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, here I am in the middle. Yeah, exactly. Every day, you're like, what am I even supposed to do?
Yeah.
Great question.
I told Ella last night, I said, hey, we're all living this life for the first time, so I don't have answers for you about everything.
Trying my best, kiddo. I am trying my best. But yeah, this you saw something extraordinary for sure. And so did your little lambs, too.
They did. And, you know, asteroid of any type, that's fucking badass to see. I thought I saw a shooting star in my backyard the other night. And I was like, because especially where we live, there is a ton of light pollution, so we don't see things like that often. And I felt very special to have seen something like that.
You were chosen. See, it revealed itself to you and showed it to you. So much like these lambs and Allie, you're chosen by the skies.
Well, keep on tending those lambs and look into the skies, because I feel like your area where you are, that's prime UAP watching territory.
Oh, yeah. That's where you're going to see some cigar-shaped something at 3 a.m. or something. So keep a camera on you.
All times. Just wear a GoPro 24/7.
And send more pictures of the lambs. Thank you very much.
Yes. Well, you can send a lamb this way, too.
A whole one. They're like, the USPS announced they're going to start shipping guns, so might as well stick a lamb in there. Just poke some holes.
Did they really announce that?
Yeah, they said today they're reversing the policy. So I was like, don't drop the box.
Oh, man. Let's make it even easier for people to get them. That's good.
Ship it to me, baby. Well, send us a lamb to make up for that. Thank you very much. Sinisterhood will be right back. Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash?
Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket.
Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces. I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Well, this next one is from Z Mama, and the subject line is missing items. Hey there, ladies. I chose the name Z Mama as I know for sure who that is when you read it, because the name means something to me. I was listening to episode 212 that was just released, and y'all mentioned a story about a necklace that came up missing. Just a few months ago, my AirPods came up missing. So my mom stays with her boyfriend, and I'm currently staying at my mom's house. Long story. The room I normally stay in has a cracked window, and with the winter we just had, it was way too cold for me to stay in there. So my mom let me stay in her room until it warms up and she can get the window fixed. Well, I swear there is a portal or a wormhole or fairies live there. I'm into witchy woo-woo, and I used to practice witchcraft regularly, and I truly believe in that stuff. I had my AirPods Pro sitting on her nightstand and apparently fell asleep. When I woke up, the AirPods Pro were missing out of the case. Now, my daughter doesn't go into that room or touch my AirPods because she has her own headphones. I looked everywhere in that room, as I know for a fact I had them in there. I looked under the nightstands, dressers, and the bed. I even looked in her closets just to be on the safe side, although I know I wasn't in there. Those AirPods were nowhere to be found. I looked through the rest of the house and nope, no AirPods. I told my mom and she said, there's a portal in there somewhere because a few years ago, on the same nightstand, I put earrings and no one was in my room and they came up missing. She said, I found one of them in a spot that I didn't have it in. The other is missing to this day. I needed headphones, so I went that night to buy some. My daughter said, Mom, don't buy them. Just stop looking for them and you'll find them. She basically was saying the same shit I tell her regularly. Normally, for her, it works. I went and bought some more AirPods anyway. I stopped looking due to the fact that I had headphones now. Months go by, and randomly, out of the corner of my eye, I see something white under the nightstand by the leg of it. I go over there, and what the hell did I find? That's right, one of the AirPods. Mind you, I looked there and around all that area hundreds of times. I'm not exaggerating. That AirPod was not there. Then I took my flashlight on my phone and flashed it under there again. And next to a different leg of the nightstand was the other AirPod. Y'all, I thought I was going crazy. I even had my daughter look there multiple times, and nope, no AirPods. At this point, it was too late to return the other ones I bought, which is okay because they were the newest ones at the time and I didn't want to return them. So now I have two sets of AirPods Pro. I keep one at work and the newest one in my purse for mostly at home. So where were they? Who had them? Why were they returned? Is it because I did a protection spell and chant in the room and that's why it was returned? I will never know. Thanks for listening to this craziness. Keep it creepy.
Well, well, well. The amount of stories we get. And the next story...
I'm excited for this.
...is going to have some answers, perhaps. When things go missing, it's already weird. With an AirPods case... You have to open it and take them out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you set the whole case on your nightstand and it's closed,
mm-hmm.
and then the case is still there, but then the AirPods inside are missing, that would imply someone had to open the case, take those out, leave the case there, and then take the AirPods.
Or they're able to get the AirPods out of the case without opening the case somehow. To take them into a portal in another realm.
Well, perhaps
realm.
That too. Yeah.
Take them into another realm. That's so frustrating. I lost my AirPods. I don't know. Well, the AirPods, they have Find My on them. So there's mm-hmm. at least that if you do lose them again. But if they're dead, it doesn't work. That's the
happened to me many times.
Same. And that's why I don't have AirPods anymore because I had put one in my right pocket of my tights and I don't know what happened to the other one or the case and all of it died and I washed the one of them. So I have plug-in headphones now because that's all I can handle apparently. But yeah, it's something like this would drive me absolutely batty, but I think email number 5 might have an answer for you.
Let's see.
Sinisterhood will be right back. Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash?
Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket.
Visit progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Berta writes this one in, and the subject line is, a physicist with all the answers on disappearing and reappearing objects. Hi, ladies. I've only been listening for about a year, but I love what you do, and due to me being easily influenced and also bad with money, I will now be attending Crime Wave at Sea. Now, on to my credentials. I have a bachelor's, master's, and hopefully by end of summer, a doctorate in physics. I heard your call on this week's Freaky Friday episode asking for physics people to write in about disappearing and reappearing objects. While I am a baby physicist, feels weird to even refer to myself as one at all, I think I have some insight into why things go missing and turn up in odd places. I could talk to you about quantum entanglement or possible implications of string theory in objects passing through various levels of the multiverse, but instead, I will tell you the real reason things will vanish and then turn up at odd times or places. The answer is brownies. Yes, brownies. Brownies are fairies or possibly Lilliputians? The lore is a bit unclear on their actual origins, but essentially, brownies are some type of fae that instead of living in a forest, they hide in your home, and they hate when things are messy. They will punish you by hiding your objects and will only give it back to you when they think things are suitably clean. Now, this isn't some boring adult advice of, oh, clean your room and you'll find it. It doesn't work like that. My friends and I have tested this thoroughly, and when something is missing, we will tidy up. And then later on, maybe a few days or even weeks, they will find the missing object just laid out in very plain sight. In cases when people don't find something until they move, well, maybe the brownies hated the whole house. I'm not sure about that exactly, but anyway, the results still stand. Fix whatever the brownies are mad about and they'll return your shit. That's how it goes. I don't make the laws of physics or brownies. I'm just forced to abide by them. Thanks for all that you do. Sincerely, Berta.
Well, we have our answer.
Hell yeah, Berta.
We have our answer. Everyone that's lost your onion, your earring, your necklace, your rings. It's the brownies, baby.
Yeah, clean up your filthy houses. Jesus Christ, I'm just kidding.
But it's interesting that in the previous story, Z Mama mentions, I'm living in this house. My mom's living in another. It's kind of a long story. If there's like some sort of tension in that story, you know, and the brownies are like, you all need to fix your relationships before this is going to be a reappear. That's kind of a interesting thing of not just like tidying up your house, but like,
oh yeah,
messes in your life maybe too.
Oh damn. Yeah. I didn't think about that. Or like if they're like, she said her mom's like, oh, things, you know, this has happened to me before.
Yeah.
And whenever you, maybe when you did do that protection spell or like a chant in the room that helped cleanse something out of it that they were waiting around about. But I'm very pleased to have an answer from almost a doctor. And
yes.
This stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We cannot wait. Please. I mean, we're going to see each other on the cruise, but make sure to remind us, to let us know that you just come up and say, I finished my doctorate, because we're so, this is so exciting. And to be able to celebrate it with you, we're going to freaking jump up and down and scream and then be like, now tell us everything about the universe. So prepare yourself for that.
Yeah. Because I do want to hear about the string theory and quantum everything. Because
yeah.
I'm on one right now. I think I'm figuring some stuff out. I've got a chart.
She's figured it out. But that's what we need you to come in as an expert to help.
Yes.
Make the theory a little more fulsome. But thank you for this theory, Berta. And hopefully that's helpful, Z Mama, to now know that you might have brownies abound.
Yeah. Maybe we've all got some brownies in our house.
You never know.
I want to know what they look like.
I guess. Yeah.
Do they make themselves visible to us?
I envisioned the whole time was the little gnomes from that video game you showed me where everybody was on TikTok playing
Gnome burglar.
I just imagine the little gnome burglars like taking your shit and being like, and like running off with
it. If those are running around the house, I'm okay with it because they're pretty funny. Their arms are crazy long, so they could get like into all sorts of places. That makes sense.
And they drop your AirPods like, oh no.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, let us know if you see him, Z Mama, or anybody, if you see any brownies around your house. Send them my way, but only if they're gluten-free. Sinisterhood will be right back. Sinisterhood is brought to you by Progressive Insurance.
Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash?
Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket.
Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This final one is from Casey, and the subject line is, I'm not taking it anymore. A tale of annoying salespeople and people invading my safe space. Hi, ladies. I don't even remember when I started listening to you all, but you've been the voices in my ear for at least a few years. You make me laugh, cry, and want to do better. You all are the reasons that I finally made myself start therapy this year. Thank you for all you do to speak truth in this current horrific timeline that we are living in. The most recent Freaky Friday about the sales guy that made the listener uncomfortable in her yard made me think of two incidents that happened within 2 days of each other recently. My husband works most evenings, leaving me to the kids and evening chores solo. My neighborhood is a bit colorful, to say the least. It was originally a quiet country neighborhood when we moved in 10 years ago, but we have a few houses that have gone downhill near us that have residents in and out of jail for possession of methamphetamine and dealing. They walk around the neighborhood and have typically left us alone, but over the years have filtered in and out. We do have some other great neighbors. It's a beautiful neighborhood, except for people cutting through our yard and some occasional domestic disturbances from said neighbors. One night, my son had trouble going to sleep, so I was late going out to feed our pet goat, Cookie. I was getting his feed and using my flashlight from my phone and the light from our garage to see. I heard something big crash in the woods. We have deer around, so I assumed it was one, until a man walked out from the woods behind me. Our yard is about 2 acres, and the back quarter acre of our property is wooded, which extends back along a fairly wide strip of wood over several acres and properties until you get to the main road. The man had no light. The woods are also full of sinkholes, fallen trees, and brambles. I immediately dialed my husband, who works not even 5 minutes down the road. Any call I've ever made to 911 usually takes a good 20 minutes, including the time my water heater caught on fire. They told me to call them back if I saw flames to let them know if they needed to hurry. My gut reaction was to say, "What the hell, man? What are you doing? You scared the shit out of me." He said some stuff apologizing and said he was just cutting through to get to his cousin's place. My husband had answered on speaker asking what was going on, so I loudly said, "I'm out here feeding Cookie and some asshole just walked out of our woods and scared me." The man continued to make excuses while continuing to walk past me. So I yelled, "Well, how about next time you use the road and not someone's property?" I packed up and went inside, but it shook me up. While I had a lot of bravado in the moment, it's given me pause doing things I've always done. If something had happened to me, my kids would have been alone in the house. I talked to one of my colorful but friendly neighbors who I get along with who lives behind me with woods that attach to mine. She told me they'd been cutting through her property too, and the same man had followed her home. We made a pact to keep an eye out and call on them until someone did something. Fortunately, it seems that some of my recent code enforcement calls have helped, and two of the worst houses are in the process of cleaning up, which has resulted in a lot less shady characters around. A few nights later, I was out attempting to prepare a mattress for the dump by wrapping it in plastic for trash day for the bulk pickup I'd scheduled. This was not an easy task. Again, it was dark, but I was close to the house and it was better lit. At around 9 p.m., a man on a Segway came zooming around the corner using a flashlight as a headlight, exclaiming, "I've been looking for you guys all day!" Now, I hate door-to-door salespeople. We get a lot because they can come to our neighborhood since we're not in city limits. I was still mad about the guy in the woods, and I heard Heather's voice in my head saying, "Be unhinged!" I also had a staple gun and a pair of sharp scissors, so I had a lot of confidence. I looked at the man and said, "I'm going to stop you right there. I'm clearly busy and don't want whatever you're selling." The man sputtered and said, "Let me ask you a quick question." Me, No. Is that a doorbell camera? Insert name brand? Huh? Your doorbell camera, is that a name brand?
I don't have to answer your questions. I don't see how that's any of your business.
Are you happy with the connection on the camera?
Me, now becoming very angry. I don't have to tell you shit. I'm busy. Go away. Now. To his credit, he took the hint and zoomed away. I haven't seen him since. He didn't even say what company he worked with. I probably did look pretty unhinged in hindsight. Thank you for all that you ladies do. I appreciate your advocacy for women and your voices in my head telling me to be a little more unhinged. I'm hitting a stride in my life where I'm tired of playing nice, being quiet, and appeasing people. I hope that I'm raising a daughter that is kind but takes no prisoners. She regularly calls out all forms of injustice. I couldn't be prouder. In these uncertain and dark times, we ladies need to band together. I'm also attaching a photo of Cookie visiting at the front door. He likes to visit the porch and look for treats and yell at me, which once caused quite a disturbance with the poor DoorDash driver. It's very cute.
Cookie! I was not expecting Cookie to be as tall.
Cookie's a full-ass goat, baby.
Cookie is Cookie. Coming up to like
a chest height of a full-grown
chest height
man.
Of a full-grown man.
Cookie tall. Cookie's ready to kick.
Oh, look at that little baby.
That's such a cute baby.
A real baby.
Just, hey, man.
Come here, Cookie. Oh, man. The way I would just toss that segue into the woods and be like, get the fuck out of here on foot.
Mm-hmm. You're walking, bitch. I'm throwing this shit in the river. Yeah, I would say it's the fuckest around us of times and the find outest of times. Like, listen, get away from me. No, I'm not telling you. What brand of camera is that? Your fucking mama's brand. Get out of here. Like, no, I'm not telling you nothing.
At 9 p.m., I've been looking for you guys all day like we're all old friends.
You psychopath. Get out of here before I staple your dick to that Segway and drive off on it. Like, what
you've
are
you already kidding? Got a mattress. You can just... Yeah. Roll them up inside of it.
I'm gonna wrap you with this saran wrap, you bitch. Get out of here. No, seriously, I feel like both of these things are just, well, this whole story, and I really appreciate the fact that you shouted out your neighbor, you talked about your neighbor. So this morning, it was exactly 8:31 a.m. I'm working with the back door open so the dogs can go in and out. It's like 60. It's nice out. And I just heard, boom. And it was like a shotgun. I was like, that was like a 12 gauge. Paris was in the bathroom, like with the water running. He didn't hear it. And so then I was like, that's so crazy, whatever. 10 a.m. So like 90 minutes later, I heard, boom. Well, we have like, there's like people plant their community gardens not far. And so I rode my bike over because I saw some folks working and I was like, I don't want to sound crazy. Did you guys happen to hear gunshots? And one of the guys was like, yeah. And then he just started spilling tea about, like, did you know that this area over here? So he knew, like, different areas where there was, like, chop shops going on where they, like, take stolen cars and they burn them. And he's like, and the police can't get to them. So what we need to do as neighbors is da-da-da-da. So there's, like, sometimes I feel like a sitting duck in my house that I'm just like, well, I don't think there's anything I can do. And talking to this guy, it was very clear that there is, like, a concerted group of neighbors who are trying to work with, like, city councilor, law enforcement and stuff to fix things like this. And I was like, I don't know why I didn't think to go talk to my neighbor sooner.
Where did the shotgun come from?
I asked the other woman that was planting and she pointed the area that it came from. And she said, there's an abandoned apartment complex that she said this group called the Ferguson Road Initiative is trying to get it like torn down. And she was saying that there is an area behind that that's like a creek. And the other guy was like, yeah, it's so densely like so much dense brush that like police and fire vehicles can't get back there. And I was like, we need to cut the fucking brush down then. That's not acceptable.
So like, they're saying that's where the shotgun was coming
from?
Well,
she said she could hear it was from that direction, presumably. Mm. There's also like a bunch of houses between me, like here and there. But like you said, you know, you call, the guy told me, he's like, you know, DPD tells us like, call it in. But he was like, now they're just like, okay. I said, yeah, one time there was like a full ass shooting in front of my house and I called and they were like, do you see someone bleeding? And I was like, no.
I mean, if I called the police every time I heard a gun, I'd be on the phone with them all fucking day.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe somebody was doing it to scare off birds because at UNT, when I went there, they would shoot off cannons to get all the birds out of the trees because they shit everywhere. They would just hear boom, these huge cannons and then birds flying everywhere.
Like, please warn me if we're going to have cannons.
One time I got shit on. It was a whole thing. Yeah, so my first thought was maybe they're trying to, like, scare off,
maybe,
you know, squirrels or whatever is eating their crops or whatever they're doing.
No, yeah. And that's what I hope. But then the gentleman I talked with, he was like, well, you know, there was one guy that we saw that looked like he maybe didn't have a place to permanently live that was kind of scuffling around. And he said he had a weapon and he said, and then when I clocked it, it was an automatic, like a, and I think tonally wise, you like, brrr, like, you know what it sounds like, at least if not semi, it's probably a semi-automatic, but, cause I mean, it'd probably be really hard to get automatic, but anyways, all that to say, I was very pleased to have met this guy and like got this lady's email to like follow up on other like community things, just because I think as we're moving forward in this shit show, the people that are, it's, I love how connected we all are because we all get really good ideas from afar. But the folks that are like down the street from you, that's like, I think with the school nearby you too, I envy your connection with the folks that live in your neighborhood and you have people on three or four streets over and you guys have such a good connection. And, you know, we don't really have any reason to, I'm a bit of a recluse. So I thought, man, I'd like to know some of the people that live around here. But I mean, my next door neighbors I know, but like way down the street and stuff. So I feel like,
well, there you go.
You can fight
look
people
to
like,
your community.
Fight people like this man on the Segway and knock him off next time.
Yeah. And you've already made a deal with your neighbor that, like, if we see any shady shit, I, at our old house, people would cut through our side yard. And I'm like, this is still our house in our yard. This is not a sidewalk. So find another place to go. You, right, people can't do that. Yeah.
No, I'm going to put a tripwire. Then what will you do? Then what will you do? Or like stick some animals out there. I don't know. But yeah, that's something like that where it's wooded. I think people also go, well, I mean, it's the woods. You don't really own it. And it's like in some cases, it's just my land that also I let become woods.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you did the right thing. Tell them to.
Yeah, for sure. Off. Yeah. Sit cookie on them.
Hell yeah. And that staple gun, baby.
Well, thank you to everyone for sending in your Freaky Friday stories today. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. Speaking of freaky, have you got something creepy caught on camera, found a weird or unexplainable clip online? Maybe you just have a funny video you want us to see. Send it our way and we'll live react to it during Sunday Scaries, our weekly live stream over on Patreon every Sunday at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's totally free. You just send in your email. You get immediate access to Sunday Scaries and a whole bunch of content just signing up as a free member. We will be off this Sunday for Mother's Day, but then we're back, baby.
Can't wait. Can't. We love all the videos you're sending. Keep sending them in. They're so good.
I don't know why, but like for some reason, I was watching this last one last night of us because I was looking for something and I just like sat there for like 10 minutes watching this. One, I think I wanted to see how bad my crash out was.
Oh, whatever. It's fine.
But I was just like, all of the listeners just like are so supportive and funny. I was talking to my therapist today and I was like, I kind of crashed out the other day and everyone on the live stream was so supportive and she was like, you've cultivated such a supportive community that, you know, like y'all can go to them when you're feeling a type of way and stuff. So thank you for that.
Thank you. All the comments were like, you are me. I am you. I feel you. I totally feel you on this. So yeah, it's like good to know, like when people write in and are like, am I the only one that feels this way? And it's like, no, you are righteous in your feelings. So that's why we have each other.
Yeah. EMDR is not for the weak. And it will bring up stuff just in the middle of, I was like, I have to do a live stream. I can't stop crying. What am I going to do? And you and Tommy were so very supportive, as was everyone on the stream.
Well, you're badass because it's not an easy thing to do. And some people might shy away from stuff like that, but you're doing the hard work.
Well, thank you very much.
Hell yeah.
Well, if you like our free episodes like this one, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 1,000 hours of bonus content, like Judge Christie, where I rule on petty grievances you bring before the court. True Crime Headlines, where we break down the latest news and updates in true crime. Heather Saves, where anything Heather has found late night scrolling can be discussed. And Emma the Asshole, unpopular opinions and other subreddits that we feel require our input.
We also offer free trials. That's where you join for a week at any of the tiers. Join at the highest tier because you can go back and watch our Total Request Live replay. It was so much fun. Check out all the perks, binge everything, and then you cancel anytime before the trial is over without getting charged, or stick around for a year, get an annual subscription, and you get 1 month free and so much more all year long.
Ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live streamed bonus content that we let you all vote on to see what you want to do, weekly audio bonus content, mini-sodes, merch discounts, and a community of the best listeners on the whole internet.
Head over to sinisterhood.com and click shop on the top banner to check out merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thank you so much to everyone who's left 5 stars and kind words. You can submit topics and cases you'd like us to cover, Freaky Friday, Sunday Scary stuff. You'll find fun things like topic-based playlists and tickets for Crime Wave at Sea 2027. We already know we're going to be seeing one of y'all there.
Hell yeah.
Hopefully, everyone that submitted their story today can come and everybody that's listening can come.
We'll see you all on board the ship, and we're all going to have Berta explain to us how we can get, using quantum entanglement, can get the non-human entities, interdimensional beings, to come visit us aboard the ship. So,
Berta, you think we're joking?
We're going to hold you down. Like, I'll buy you a drink. And you're like,
Tommy, I was like, babe, I've been working on some theories, and I need to tell you them. And then I said a bunch of stuff, and he said, so how sold are we on these theories? And I was like, I'm pretty convinced.
So y'all buckle up, baby.
I need that might a be physicist to back up my claims.
Exactly. Like I said, we need some peer reviews. Y'all are yes. Yes, I'm a peer with a PhD physicist.
Hey, no, I'm a judge. So.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly. Yeah. You can follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. Follow us over on YouTube and TikTok at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live stream, and more. If you're looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, you want to treat yourself to a pep talk, or you're looking for a last minute Mother's Day gift, the sale goes on, it ends May 10th at 11:59 p.m. As far as direct Mother's Day delivery, maybe do it by Saturday because Christy's trying to celebrate on Sunday. We'll probably turn them off for actual day of Mother's Day. But, and I got to go. Nancy wanting one. She's like, why are you working? Why is your phone out? So book before Saturday to get that Mother's Day sale deal. And otherwise, just book a cameo. It's a great gift. It's customized. It's hopefully brings a smile to someone's face. And someone's requested Horsehead Lady Body. So I've got to get that out and do a little dancing for y'all tonight. So go to cameo.com/sinisterhood on a computer web browser for the best price.
Yes.
Where can people find you on the internet?
I'm on Instagram and Threads until I just shut it all down, which I'm a step away from doing, at Christy M. Wallace, and TikTok at Christy or GTFO, where I just repost crazy stuff that is not being reported on in the mainstream media that is very important and we all need to know about.
No, I'm serious. There's current shit that's absolutely mm-hmm. not being reported on for mm-hmm. sure. I'm everywhere at Heather versus the World, and recently on Threads, I've been responding and messaging, like posting about stuff. I was like, I'm getting fiery because I'm sick of this shit. I'm like, fuck Ted Cruz, fuck Greg Abbott.
I have an account. I don't know if I've ever posted anything on it. I just keep the accounts. I really don't post anything.
I know. I like to get my names, like, so nobody steals them. You know, same with Sinister. We might have an account somewhere, but not post. But sick. We got to keep it before some shady person takes it. Mm-hmm. So go follow us over all those places.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away. all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.